Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's one of the hardest things because I don't know if we truly grasp what it really means. If I were to ask you, here's our problem, and we'll talk a little bit about this morning. We kind of conflate forgiveness and reconciliation and everything into one thing. I don't think it is. I don't think the Bible teaches it that way either. I don't even think God exercises forgiveness in the way that we think forgiveness is. And I think we'll see that as we look at the passage this morning. Have you ever had a paper cut? Hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. Now, I know some of you, and you've probably skinned your knees, or you may have even done something far worse that has caused maybe some damage to your body. I've got one place in my body where, well, right here. It's not quite connected here in the middle. Just two out of the four quadriceps is attached to my knee. Why? Because I was hit by a parked car. I'll tell you that story some other time. My goodness, that car was going so fast. But what it did, it hit that tendon and it just severed those two tendons. It rolled up. It's in my leg. It's just not connected. I know it's gross. It hurt. But here's the thing. Just as much as a paper cut hurts, that hurt. Pain is pain is pain. Whether it's self-inflicted, but in most cases, when someone does something to hurt us, it hurts. It hurts. And so the issue comes for us who have been hurt. How are we to deal with those who have caused the pain? That's what we're talking about. You see, we've all been offended. Every one of us in some way or another through our lives. People have hurt us. And have hurt us deeply in some cases. I'll put in a little parenthesis here. We've also offended and hurt others. But we'll come back to that. I want us to focus on what should we do when we have been hurt. You see, in the Lord's Prayer that we're studying, Jesus teaches that to receive the Father's forgiveness, we must forgive others. Interesting, in the translation in the Lord's Prayer, you'll see in some we'll translate it, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, that is a different kind of pain. That is, somebody owes us something. Whatever it is, material or immaterial, they owe us. It could be money. It could be something like love. And affection. Where we're owed that, but we don't receive it from this person. And it hurts. A debt unpaid, something we deserve, but we don't receive. Then there's the other word that is used. Forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. It's the idea that somebody has purposely done something to harm us. The idea of trespassing onto my property. The idea of trespassing into my life for the sake of just causing me pain. That has happened, hasn't it? And so we pray, Father, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who are our debtors or who have trespassed against us. There's a correlation there, isn't there? And we say, but forgiveness is difficult. It is. My question is, though, well, let me think here a second. You see, we are expected to forgive those who have sinned against us as a condition for God's forgiveness. Do you remember the parable of the unforgiving servant? You know the story. I'm just going to spell out the story. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to spell it out. It's a king who has a servant who owes him a lot of money. Not just a little, a lot of money. And when the king comes to settle the debt, the servant begs for mercy. And the king gives him mercy, doesn't he? But then immediately, he goes and he finds somebody who only owes him a little debt. And he says, pay me my debt. And the man says, please give me more time. Show me mercy. And he says, no, to debtor's prison with you until that debt can be paid. It says, some of the servants of the king saw this and they went back and they told this to the king. And this is what Jesus says. Then his Lord called him in and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servants even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if you don't each forgive your brother from your hearts for his misdeeds. So here's the thing I need to talk to you about right now before we move forward. God has forgiven how many of our sins? How much of the debt to him? You see, we owe him everything, do we not? You exist because God created your existence. The design of this universe that brought about your procreation is God's design. This is not chance. The Bible says that God knew you in your mother's womb. He fashioned you. He formed you after his very image. Why? Because of his great love for you. There's no one in the universe whose affection isn't towards you like God's. And although we reject him, we rebel against him, we insert our own foolish pride instead of trusting him, we push him away. He forgives. In fact, he forgives to such a point that he settles the debt through his own son. Because you see, our debt because of sin is death. And through the one act of grace, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, our debt was fully satisfied. And God forgives. So if he should forgive us, should we not forgive others? And the answer to that question is, well, of course. Of course. The issue then for me, how do I do it? Is that not what you're thinking? How do I forgive somebody who has hurt me? How do I? And more importantly, in understanding how I do it, the bigger question is, what is it? How do I handle this? The broken heart in the midst of trying to extend forgiveness. So let's look at that. How do I forgive someone who has hurt me? We're going to focus on verses 14 through 21. The first thing we do in forgiving others is very simple. We let it go. Let go. Let go of it. Beloved, in verse 19a, it says, beloved, never avenge yourself. So forgiveness doesn't mean forget it, as if it never happened. That's not what it means. There are some who have been in abusive or even adulterous relationships, marriages, and it's very clear. You don't forget that. You can't forget that. You don't just simply say, because I'm married to this person, forgiveness means I just go back to him or go back to her and find myself in the abusive situation or in the adulterous condition. I don't do it. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness does not ignore the fact that you were hurt. Nor does forgiveness mean you don't deal with it. A dear friend of mine, Amanda, when she was in her early 20s, before she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, was living on the edge. Living on the edge. And one day, which was kind of her practice, before she met up with her friends and they started to go from one bar to the next, she decided to go ahead and drink. And she had a drinking issue. And as she's driving through her town, intoxicated, she went through an intersection and T-boned a man in his car, killing him. Amanda stood trial and was convicted on vehicular manslaughter. There in the jail, this 70-year-old man's children, son and a daughter, come to visit Amanda. Sitting down with Amanda, explaining to her how much they forgive her. Oh, they were hurt. They were hurt. It didn't lighten the legal obligation that Amanda needed to fulfill. She spent time in jail for that offense. But more, she carried that offense in her heart and still does to this day. But the one thing that has lightened the load of that, this son, this daughter said, we forgive you. More than that, they went as far as to bring her into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, we still deal with the offense. Forgiveness doesn't mean we don't deal with it. No, we deal with it in an appropriate way. What forgiveness does mean is we don't execute our own brand of justice. Let me read that to you again. Never avenge yourself. What does that mean? I can tell you what it means, and you know what it means. It's what you begin to think about the person. It's the things you conjure up in your mind that you want to happen to that person. It may even be the bringing together and contaminating the water against this person. Forgiveness means I let that go because guess what? It's not even about the person who's offended me. It's about me. I let it go because if I don't let it go, I get bitter. Oh, I get so bitter. And my bitterness turns into hatred. And hatred has no home in the hearts of God's people. I let it go. I choose to not avenge myself. I choose not to turn people against someone. I choose not to bring about my misguided thoughts of what justice should be. Instead, I let it go and I give it to God. I give it to God. But leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Who's better at the wrath game? Who's going to do it in a just manner? You or God? You see, ultimately, everyone comes underneath the judgment of God, don't we? You don't escape it. I don't escape it. You see, God's judgment, his wrath, is just. One of the questions when people ask me, they say, well, I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. To which I roll my eyes. And then I say to him, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe a just God would send someone to hell who doesn't deserve to be in hell? Isn't that a great response? You see, God is just. God will never condemn anyone who doesn't deserve to be condemned. Trouble is, we all deserve it, don't we? We all stand in the presence of God, rebellious. We all stand in the presence of God. And here's the thing, you don't even see it. People don't even see it because the issue isn't hostile rejection of God. Very few people are hostile towards God. You know what they are? They're indifferent. They don't care about God. They ignore him. God created us out of his grand love. And what does he expect of us? What should he expect of us but nothing less than our love for him? The greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why wouldn't we? But we don't. The world doesn't. And because of that, God condemns. His wrath is just, and his wrath is equally timely. In his time, God will bring about judgment. But it's in his timing. There's a reason for his timing. Either to affirm his wrath is just, or to give time to show mercy. But God's wrath is both just and timely. So that's why we give it to him. We give it to him. Oh, let me explain that to you. In the book of Genesis, the angel of the Lord, we believe is a pre-incarnate vision of Jesus, comes to Abraham, and he explains to Abraham about the coming of God's judgment against the Canaanites. He said, in 400 years, my judgment's going to come. Why that time? Let me tell you why I think that time. I think God gives us time to repent. In fact, he gives all of us our lifetime to repent, to make our things right with him. A whole life. And should we not repent, how much more is his judgment firm? There's another reason we give it to God. It's not directly in what I just read, but it is important to understand. We give it to God so that he can heal your broken heart. Oh. Whatever the offense is, and however, whoever has caused the offense, we need healing. We need to know that there's someone who does care. We need to know there's someone who is taking care of us, not only in terms of judgment, but in terms of just us. Someone that I can go to and I can open up just how I feel. The fact that I don't feel I can get judgment. He heals my heart. Peter writes, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. What hurt, what pain in your heart is so big that the God who created the universe cannot soothe? Let go. Let God. Do good. To the contrary, Paul writes, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, that last part speaks to me. Because you see, my inclination is, I want pay. And I'm tempted to do something. And quite frankly, anything I'm tempted to do may not be good. In fact, it's probably evil in itself. At least the intentions are evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It changes the heart when you do good. You know, we don't ignore the offense, but we are to be kind. No matter what the person has done, if they're hungry, shouldn't you feed them? Shouldn't you just feed them out of charity? It doesn't matter what they have done. They are still creatures in the image of our God. We should step in when we can, when we are able, no matter what they may have done. Why? Well, this is interesting. It says that you'll be heaping burning coals on his head. You see, this will either affirm God's wrath. You see, your kindness, and this is strange how this happens. It does, though. It hardens a person's heart against you. They can't understand why you are being good to them, so it just really makes them even more. Just like Pharaoh, a man whose heart was hardened towards the Israelites, and God simply made harder. Sometimes the good things you do to someone actually hardens their hearts more, and making God's judgments even more just. We don't want that, though. Because you see, sometimes those burning coals aren't the coals of wrath. They're the coals of purification. Peter talks about that, doesn't he? That sometimes the things that take place in our life take place in such a way that it purifies the soul. Sometimes the good that we do to someone will actually penetrate and will begin the process of softening their hearts, drawing them back to a relationship with God. Making things right with God as they make things right with you. Why? Because of you, instead of demanding judgment, extended mercy. Instead of being punitive, your kindness did something far greater. It changed their heart, thus removing them from the wrath of God. Oh, how much should we be about people escaping the flames of hell for the gates of heaven? Much. I need to say this. Forgiveness provides the path for reconciliation. Something in talking with several people here about this sermon, Pat and I have had this conversation continually. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. You are to forgive whether somebody reconciles with you or not. But forgiveness is the path to reconciliation. You see, if we do not forgive, reconciliation will never happen. But reconciliation requires repentance and recompense for appropriate restoration. Repentance. The person, the offender, recognizes that not only have they sinned against you, but by sinning against you, they've equally sinned against God. And they recognize, like the prodigal son, there, as he is contemplating his condition, his circumstance in the pig field, says he looked up to heaven, he came to his right mind, and he says, I have sinned against my Father, and I've sinned against you, God. Repentance. Repentance. Your kindness could lead someone to repentance. Forgiveness could lead someone to repentance. And then with repentance comes the desire to make it right, recompense. Isn't that what Zacchaeus did? When he experienced the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ there in his home, did he not say, Lord, to anyone I've ever cheated, I will repay fourfold? It's the idea of I will do what is necessary and what I'm able to do to make things right with the person I've offended. You see, reconciliation comes from the heart of the offender. I'm sorry, and I will do what I can to make it right. Now, that doesn't mean reconciliation is full restoration. That's dependent. That's dependent on several things. One of the things it's dependent upon is the depth of the offense. Let me explain that. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, it makes this qualification about divorce and remarriage. It says if someone has divorced his wife and the wife has married someone new, he cannot repent, or he can repent, but he cannot go and remarry his wife that is married to someone else. You see, there are appropriate levels of restoration depending upon the condition, the offense and the condition. This way, just from the standpoint of legality, if someone has done something illegal, there are consequences for that. Not just simply paying the penalty for that which is illegal, there are certain consequences that go with that. There are certain people who have been convicted of certain crimes that we wouldn't put in charge of children, would we? You see, restoration, reconciliation can take place, but it may be conditioned upon the offense itself and how deep the offense is. The aim is always restoration, sometimes complete restoration. It will take place not here, but over yonder when we get there. We still need to pursue some level of reconciliation in this life. The Bible's clear on that. But at the same time, for us who have been offended, we need to forgive. Let it go. Let God do good. Remember at the beginning I told you this all hinges, our forgiveness from God hinges upon our ability to forgive others. God, this is exactly how God forgives, isn't it? Jesus stood there on the cross, he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. It didn't mean that they were reconciled with God because Jesus says you're forgiven. Reconciliation came with repentance and recompense, did it not? He forgave them. He gave them the opportunity to repent, to pay recompense for the rest of their life. They had that opportunity, but he forgave them. Didn't mean he wiped the offense out. He forgave them, and he provided the means for their reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the point there is, as God has forgiven us, we are supposed to what? Forgive others. In other words, we let it go, we let God, and we do good. The preacher, one of the greatest preachers of all of Christendom, back in the early parts of the early church around the 5th century, John Chrysostom said this: to ask forgiveness from God is a great benefit, but to deny the same to others is to mock God. Two things here. We're getting ready to celebrate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. and the forgiveness that that brings and the reconciliation that brings in our lives. Two questions. Do you need to be forgiven? Have you offended someone? Today is the day to make things right, using this as your opportunity to move forward. Or maybe you've been offended, and today is the day for you to let it go, to forgive. And so, by forgiving others, you take and you receive the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that God offers us. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, this is so hard because we hurt so badly. Give us the strength and the grace to forgive those who have hurt us, to not seek out our own misguided brand of justice, but to trust you, either to judge or to show mercy. Lord, give us a passion in our hearts so that we might do good, not only to those who have offended us, but to everyone. And now, as we prepare to remember what you've done, the price that was paid, Lord Jesus, to satisfy the wrath of God so deservedly against us, we pray that our hearts will be pure and purified by this. Give us grace. Show us mercy. We pray in your name. Amen.